Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 26th on the West Coast, now May the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in tonight around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, especially those in the U.S. military, and also on Blog Talk Radio.com. Well, there's been a lot of interesting events transpiring. What's happening with this great oil catastrophe that they keep calling a spill? Not a whole lot of truth is coming out, at least from the mainstream media. As I recall, spills, they usually take place from the top down. You spill a glass of milk, which is sitting on the table, it pours over the table, and then down onto the floor if you're not quick enough to catch the spill. Spills tend to move down. Oil catastrophes tend to move up from the bottom of the ocean, in this case, to the surface, and then to points beyond along the shorelines of the Gulf area, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, and even some of the islands there in the West Indies. We're not getting the truth. We discussed that for 2 hours last night with Lindsay Williams, who had many, many profound comments to make about the amount of evil that we are experiencing on this planet at the current time. And we're going to talk about that topic in general with tonight's guest, as well as whatever else is his fancy tonight on Evident Footprints. He is an herbalist, an environmental scientist, a historian, and a musician. My good friend, coming back again for another visit this month of May on Evident Footprints, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for inviting me back. Great to be back.
Pleasure to have you back. Everyone's been asking, when is Michael coming back? And I tell them, read the schedule. go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on radio schedule, and click on the month of May, and you'll see who all my guests are for the month. But
well, that's very nice to hear that. Thank you.
Yes, if you must know, he's on tonight. So I'm just fielding phone calls and email from people wanting to know, and it's just a reminder, friendly reminder, folks, as a public service announcement. You can always check the upcoming guests for each month by going to my radio schedule page at directlightproductions.com. Michael, what's your take on what's going on with this oil catastrophe that they're conveniently calling a spill? Am I wrong about this definition of a spill, by the way?
No, not at all, Don. Obviously, it's not a spill. And I don't know if I can add to any more of the comments that everybody else has been stating over the last a couple weeks since this incident. And it is very disgusting. Of course, it's very serious. They are destroying a large section of the ocean. The more I think about it, Don, the more upset I get as far as who these dirtbags are. I'd like to know them by name, who they are, but I am cursing them every time I think about them. BP, all the associates, of course we know, the bankster cartel is behind it all because big corporations are merely their toys, and they obviously have a total disregard and clear intent of trying to harm in any way they can, apparently, anything that belongs to God's creation. There is nothing. This is so needless, as far as oil, such a primitive. technology. And here we are in 2010, so dependent on it still. And that's the first real outrage about it all. So unnecessary for such events to occur where we're polluting the earth in such serious ways. I mean, all the life forms that are going to be affected by this for a long time. And it's so needless and unnecessary, Don. That's the first thing that really irritates me to no end, knowing that it's not even, this stuff isn't even needed, this crap. And, you know, every time I think of oil, Don, a lot lately, I think of this old movie called Pittsburgh with John Wayne and Randolph Scott and Marlene Dietrich. And so it's all about, of course, oil strikes and how great it is because, well, the Wildcatters, of course, back in those days, there were independent Wildcatters before the Rockefeller monopolies forced them all out or bought them all out. And so it was exciting because they were going to get rich. And also, though, they were in the movie, they had this old guy scientist, and he's working on petroleum extracts and coal tar, and how wonderful the medicine it's going to be, and, you know, hip hooray for oil. Oh, boy, it's going to save the world. It's so wonderful. You know, that's what I think about every time, the propaganda crap, and trying to get the people to believe back in those days of the 1800s, late 1800s, that oil was going to be so beneficial as a medicine, Don, besides as a fuel source. And of course, it's nothing but toxic. Nothing but toxic to everything it comes in contact with above ground. And all we can do is pray. Pray to the dear Lord that through miracles, his good angels can minimize the effects, because otherwise it's going to be, it's truly a catastrophe. It's going to be very detrimental for a long time, I'm afraid, for the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes. Now, you know, we've been hearing stories about the additional toxins that are being added as dispersants to this oil catastrophe, this millions of gallons a day spewing out of this hole, about a mile. Actually, it's roughly 280 feet short of a mile, roughly 5,000 feet deep. And we're not being told the truth about the pressure of this this seepage of oil into the ocean, and they're basically using the dispersants, which are surfactants that break up the oil and cause it to sink down and really obfuscate how much oil is coming out of this hole at the bottom of the ocean. Lindsay Williams last night reiterated something that he brought forth on the show May 5th, saying that they were likely trying to mirror a well that was dug by the Russians back in 2004, where they hit 40,230 feet in depth. Now, he said they did this on land, and they've had some problems themselves with a few of the very deep wells that they've dug and found vast amounts of oil. This is one which is in essence supporting the lower layer of the Earth's crust. It's the way it was described, and it's the consequences of what it's doing to the ground is catastrophic. Recently, there was a report, and I'm kind of jumping around. I recall reading that the underwater beds in the area of Australia are rising 13 feet per day. Have you heard about that?
Don, I was just starting to think about the equilibrium effects, number one, of this loss on this side. I mean, the nature has to be doing some kind of equilibrium effect, number one, I would imagine. Number two, based on the concept that of course, we know oil is not fossil fuel. The fossils of dinosaurs have created petroleum. Of course, that's nonsense because all the oil consumed just in our lifetime alone is so vast that it would take I would imagine enough dinosaurs stacked on top of each other that would go to the moon and back to create that much oil from their fossils. So that doesn't make sense. And so, and also from reports that old wells that were dry have replenished themselves, and so the concept of abiotic oil theory has come about, and that makes a lot of sense to me because of plate tectonics. Apparently, nature is using this as a lubricant for the crustal plates. And so what that comes down to is that there's all the continents on the Earth are on these plates that move. And there's a Pacific plate, the Atlantic plate. And so it makes sense that oil's being used as a lubricant to some degree. That's really makes total sense now. With this rapid depletion of oil coming out of the Gulf down there, what's going on down there, deep down in the earth? Now, you said about 40,000 feet, Don?
Well, that was the Russian well that was dug in 2004. I forget the whole name of this, but Pastor Williams mentioned that on the show last night. And I suppose I could look it up. I know it's on his DVDs as well. He talked about this to some extent. And
that brings us to about 8 miles down.
Yeah, roughly that's 8 miles. It's just
eight miles down. Don, like you said, we're hitting the sub layers of the crust layer of the earth, and so, you know. Let's hope that it doesn't trigger any kind of big earthquakes or some kind of unusual fault activity because of this depletion of a lubricant at the crustal layers deep below.
Well,
that's another
one issue. Yeah, that's one issue. Now, I know of your love of nature and animals, which I share with you and many of our listeners do. People around the world respect nature and animals, and it's making people sick to the core of their being to know that this wanton mass murder of our flora and fauna in the deep sea is occurring, and their only concern is how much money they're spending or how much money they're going to have to pay out.
Probably how much money they're going to make due to this will contribute to more of a artificial shortage crisis, I'm sure, and justifying higher costs at the pump.
Yeah, artificial inflation. Well, isn't all inflation artificial anyway?
Well, this is artificial oil shortage that they're creating here.
Yeah, and while they're saying we're at a point in peak oil, and you know, Lindsay Williams again wrote the book The Non-Oil Crisis, telling us that it was a ruse, it was a hoax being played upon mankind, that there was a limit to this oil. Every time they discover vast amounts of oil, do they produce the oil? If we desperately require the oil to function as a society, whether we're industrial or technological in nature, do we really need to be using oil? There's been a constant push by outsiders and independent scientists and inventors and people who are concerned about nature and about what we're doing to the planet and what impact we're having on the rest of the universe, that are concerned about the fact that we are not using what has been labeled as free energy devices or sustainable energy devices. We are using a product to basically manufacture a majority of the products that we're using outside of the fuel supplies that we get. All the derivatives of benzene, and we talked about some of those last night, are very toxic. Oil itself is toxic to the environment, to the air, and every way it's used. Look at the plastics market or the asphalt market in the manufacturing or the building of roads or the resurfacing of roads. You've got tar balls coming up on the ocean, and they're trying to attribute it to something else. I mean, they're not telling the truth about anything, and there's this obsession with how much money is this going to cost? What's the liability going to be of the oil company, BP in this example? And they've already suggested that they're going to limit their liability to $75 million. This is a company that makes how many billion every quarter? They're making record profits, and they've so far admitted to have forked out about $430 million to some of the victims of this, but they haven't stopped this massive flow of millions of gallons of oil a day. They're intentionally underselling the amount of oil that's escaping, and they're minimizing the amount of damage that it's doing to the plant and animal kingdom in the ocean. They're restricting fishing. They're contaminating our food supplies on a multitude of levels. I'm not just talking about fish. And the big concern is money. Who's going to pay for all this, you know? Who's going to compensate us for the damage that was done? No thought about the damage that's being done to the planet. Doesn't it just make you sick? Isn't it totally disgusting?
I just say curse them. May the good Lord eradicate them off the planet as soon as possible. We'll all be much better off. These dirtbags are pathetic, soulless beings. I mean, Don, they already have all the money in the world, but that isn't even making them content. They are not happy unless everything is miserable and suffering. This is the kind of pathetic losers that are running the world here, and our country in particular, controlling our government for sure. And it's outrageous, disgusting, curse them to no end. That's all I can say about them. It's all ridiculous. And sure, you know, suppressed technologies. I mean, just think again of Stanley Meyer's water engine that runs on water. And they had to kill him because he wouldn't go away with it quietly. Wouldn't take any money and quietly go away. He knew it was very important for our country, let alone the whole world, to get such technology into the hands of Americans so we can be productive without polluting. Everything about oil is pollution. From the moment they tap in and it starts oozing up, it's polluting everything that it comes in contact with. And through the whole processing, nothing but pollution. Then the end product causes pollution. As we're burning the gasoline, which is the byproduct of the oil, we're polluting. Everything about it is polluting. I consider it totally a black technology that goes with the black magicians. And lo and behold, oil is black. But it belongs in the earth where it originated. And, of course, there where it's contained, it's obviously not doing any harm.
Yeah, and the toxicity of the dispersants, they're calling them, which are basically surfactants that break up the oil and cause the oil to
precipitate out.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just downplaying the whole thing as if, you know, we're just you know, this is just another conspiracy for us to focus in on. And what else can you call it when they're all in collusion together? If you were to begin pouring oil out of cans from a boat, say you're out fishing on the water and you just begin pouring motor oil, and somebody sees you doing this, how long are you going to be fishing?
How long is it
going to be until they pick you up and throw you in jail?
Absolutely right, Don.
And why aren't these people in prison? All of them. Why aren't they in prison? Those covering it up as well, because they're obstructing justice for one thing. Their intent is to hide this criminality or personally profit from it. You know,
therefore,
behind the door.
They're all complicit. That's right. Therefore, they're all complicit in the crime, and this crime is a terrible, atrocious tragedy on Mother Nature, God's creation, and. Also, you know, you hear reports about independents that want to step in and offer their help, but no, we don't need you. No, it's not necessary. Yeah, that's outrageous. These banksters they got to go. If we can get rid of these banksters and the pathetic corporate control they hold over the planet, my dear Lord, how beautiful things will be. I mean, as far as the ability to have fresh, clean air, water, and land without any kind of pollution, living in harmony with it, everybody getting along. It's unbelievable what could be achieved if, when, and if these dirtbags just step out of the picture.
Yes. Now, you mentioned bankers, and this is going to sound like I'm sort of shifting the topic, but consider that this Gulf incident is nothing more than another false flag event, okay, and designed to obviously cause a myriad of problems, tangential problems, and then at the same time serve as a smoke and mirrors deflection, we'll say, for other things that are going on. Now, what does Congress talk about these days? They had Henry Kissinger, the man with the artificial crepitant, and I want to repeat that word, crepitant, that's the only way I can describe it, German accent, worn-out accent, that's a phony as this oil spill, okay, and they've got him advising us on a nuclear arms treaty between the United States and Russia. What business does this clown have to be dictating foreign policy these days?
Well, let's just recall how back during the Vietnam War, when Heinz Kissinger boy there was on the cabinet for Secretary of State, actually, for Nixon, and he was feeding back into the communist United Nations organization all of our military strategies, just like back in the Korean War, where the commies were, through our government, were feeding back into the United Nations government all of MacArthur's plans for the Korean War so they could outfox, outmaneuver the American strategies and constantly impede us and also take many American lives, soldiers'
mm-hmm.
lives. And so here we have Heinz Kissinger complicit in the same kind of activity during the Vietnam War. And, yeah, here's a dirtbag somehow still breathing for a little while longer. But his time's got to be closing in. And now they want to bring him back in to help us resolve more conflicts with potential enemy countries that are communistic. We can trust that guy as far as we can throw him.
Yes. Now, we had a recent resignation of Admiral Dennis C. Blair, who was the director of Central Intelligence. Evidently, he was moving to have the international payment settlements issued, and he had obtained copies of checks, bribery checks, issued to Biden, the vice president, Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, and Chief of Staff Emmanuel.
Huh.
Okay? Now, Christopher came out with a news flash today. I just located this. A German newspaper reports CIA counterfeiting U.S. currency. The German newspaper Frankfurter Allgemeine Sonntagszeitung, and for those of you who don't know what that means, it's the Sunday news, okay, all right, in Frankfurt. They report that the CIA may be counterfeiting $50 and $100 bills to avoid congressional oversight of covert operations while blaming the forgeries on North Korea. Isn't that interesting? North Korea now is being blamed for creating counterfeit bills, 50s and 100s, and they allegedly shot a torpedo at the oil platform, the Deepwater Horizon.
Right.
Isn't that interesting how,
yes,
again, they're dragging North Korea into this?
Mm-hmm.
With all this intergalactical space technology we have, the little Koreans got snuck a submarine into the Gulf of Mexico, and it just so happened to coincide with the put options that were played.
Are they, Are they still? Yeah, that's right, Don. Those put options by Goldman Sachs. Well, there you go. Before the incident actually occurred, that tells you everything right there. It's all pre-planned. And so, are they still trying to attribute this incident to the North Koreans?
I've heard that from numerous sources. Now, they're not telling the truth about anything about the amount of oil spewing out of the hole, the actual cause of it. They've made an attempt, and a rather shoddy attempt. In fact, I said it won't work. They took a smaller pipe and stuck it in the hole, and of course it's not sealed. It's not capped off. They've
right.
suggested. I heard this in the congressional hearing. They're suggesting that probably the best solution is to open up another hole. Well, duh.
Oh, gee.
To relieve the pressure.
So much for the idiots in our government.
Yeah, and they're reporting the pressure has been reported by the president of BP America before the Congress at 20,000 pounds per square inch. And it's been estimated, I came out right in the beginning and said it's more likely 75,000 pounds. I'm getting information from outside sources telling me that it could be as high as 100,000 pounds.
Wow.
Okay, of pressure. So you can put 20 holes in there, and there are probably many more than the one hole that they're showing us anyway. Lindsay Williams described every piece of equipment on that rig failing completely, a catastrophic failure. And I mentioned to him that we had news of this occurring. This is coming out, new information coming out, that they had 4 days of warning that this was likely to occur,
mm-hmm.
that the whole operation was showing signs of failure.
Right.
And he knows at least they went down to 30,000 feet, although they claim that they went an additional 13,000 feet under the surface, the bottom of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
where the actual opening of the pipe is. So basically, you're talking 5,000 feet plus 13,000 feet. They're saying 18,000 feet. And he's saying no. Most likely they went beyond 30,000. And he's just about concurring with me that they could have gone as deep as 40,000 feet. And he's not alone in arriving at that conclusion.
I don't think the crust is much thicker than that either.
Yes. So he just said they were not prepared for this. They had no idea to expect this, this complete failure. And he said, I can't discount what you're saying about the put options. I said, is that just another coincidence that the very company whose name is on that is being played by Goldman Sachs employees? And Congress evidently interrogated this Fabulous Fab, or whatever this guy's name is, the guy that said, all we need is one oil disaster in the Gulf, and we're in the money, big time. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but this was in an
wow.
email to a girlfriend.
A Goldman
Sachs guy. This has been several weeks this is out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear this. Now, in addition to this, there is a large amount of information coming out that Dick Cheney made an attempt on very recently to steal $2 trillion from the Bank of America Atlanta branch.
Was he walking in holding it up?
ticker? They were using bogus certificates. And then they tried doing this in Paris also. And it was stopped in Paris. You want to talk about desperation.
Unbelievable.
Michael, you know I've been reporting this for years, and now, you know, we're getting very specific information on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Don, absolutely true there. What's incredible, though, and it baffles any rational mind, these dirtbags have all the money in the world already. How much more do they want? It's unbelievable. So obviously, it can't be just about money, Don. It's about other strategies which will cause the world to be stressed out further, especially economically. And, of course, it's got to be tying in their New World Order plans of a global structure to run all the governments of the world. And this has to be tied in with that more than making money. They already have all the money in the world. It can't be just about money.
Well, you know, as Lindsay and many others say, power and control. I mean, these people are
sure.
ruthlessly, insatiably after power and controlling other people. And to the point where they will destroy the whole planet.
Right.
And then really that opens up a whole new bag of issues because we've been getting reports that our secret space program has been for a substantial amount of time involved in interstellar travel. Now, I'm not talking about within the solar system. I'm talking about into other parts of the galaxy, possibly even outside the galaxy. Interstellar travel. And you have this rumor mill of stories just spinning around like a top, regurgitating the same old news. Oh, they're about to announce UFO presence. They're about to announce that we have ETs on the planet. They're about to announce that we've been on Mars for many years. And we've talked about these things ad nauseum on this show. We revealed to people that we've been on Mars for many, many years, since the 1960s, early 1960s, before any announcements about being on the moon ever occurred. And there are people coming forth supposedly or allegedly to break this news to us that they're having memories return, that they remember as a child they were taken up there and indoctrinated in this new colony being developed. Why take a child up there? Are they starting another educational system, mirroring the one they have here, with its corruption and its money laundering and
mind control? They're into all kinds of things. And the facts that there are probably bases on Mars. I mean, we've seen photographs I've shared with you, Don, and you know, that look like the Astrodome. I mean, you know, it's so blatantly obvious that somebody constructed that, and it looks like one of our type of structures. But why, you know, they're bringing kids and stuff to get human genetics used to a new environment because it will affect the genes. And so that's got something to do with it for sure. Mm-hmm. And they're also very deep into the supernatural stuff, and there's supernatural related reasons behind all this too. And
yeah.
The Nazis, of course, were big into this. They had the anti-gravity craft, and when they brought him over here after the war, they brought him here to continue on with all this kind of research and development. And it's phenomenal, very phenomenal activity, Don. A lot of people really don't have an idea of how deep they really are into this stuff, supernatural phenomenon activity. But Hitler and the Nazis, they were into the Superman, literally creating a Superman. And so... everything going on today is associated with that, with these controllers of the world that finance the Nazis. And so whatever's going on off-planet, it has something, you know, that it's related to that kind of Superman activity for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, we keep seeing these stories recycled, and, of course, that's because it's quite obvious that there are people waking up in phases. What I'm noticing is that over a 3 to 4 year period, and so they're regurgitating all of the, and I'm saying regurgitating, not recycling, regurgitating all the old news, the fear mongering news, and you know, well, they're going to do this, they're going to take our guns away, they're taking our freedoms away from us, and they're going to foreclose on your house, and Now, all we're witnessing is just rampant organized crime. I keep stressing this again.
And treason.
I keep saying, why aren't these people in jail? Why aren't they in prison for the mass murder and the massive corruption? Why is it that a British reporter, granted, he's a good one, and he specializes in the financial, the geo-financial community, we'll say, across the whole planet. Why is it that he is getting this information about three key people in the administration receiving bribery checks from the CIA? Basically, they're kowtowing to George H.W. Bush's whims about blocking the international settlement payments to kickstart the world economy. They have to steal everything that's not tied down or anchored down.
That's what they do.
You know, and we report this over and over and over again, and and now you've got some of the ex-royal family, Sarah Ferguson. I don't know if this was just a psyop that they did, or somebody was using her to get some money. I wouldn't put it past Bush to pull off a stunt like this. She was going to arrange for someone to meet with her ex-husband, Prince Andrew. Now, there was a $40,000 upfront payment, and there was supposed to be another $720,000 to be paid. This was to arrange for a meeting with her ex-husband. Is that all people understand? Is that doing an act of kindness is only of a financial remuneration? In other words, if you don't have any money, you can't talk to this person. And the money's got to go into my hand because I'm going to arrange for the meeting.
These people are just total materialists, Don, and that's all they know.
Well,
hello?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes,
yes I do.
So that's another story that just came out. Again, Christopher Story's reporting that. Now, who's behind it? I don't know, but it seems like we had a group of CBS reporters go down to the Gulf to try to take some pictures and report on the oil reaching the mainland and polluting the inland waterways now, and they were arrested.
Yes. Now I'm hearing reports about no actual true reporting allowed on this incident. Clearly, it's very serious, and they don't want us to really get a chance to appreciate or to really understand how severe this is. And, you know, Don, we're clearly in a type of dictatorship here where our government is controlling, or rather, the banksters are controlling our government, and they're controlling everything else, and they just are keeping us in the dark on everything that they can, and they only try to let us know what they want us to know. And obviously we're not that free. There can't be free reporting. You're not allowed to go investigate without being arrested or threatened with your life if you pursue investigation into this. That's outrageous. It's unbelievable, and I agree, Don. Why aren't they in prison? Why aren't they hanging from tree limbs, which is my preference? And God willing, that day's going to come. But at the same time, like you said, we're going to lose our guns. And what that refers to is Hillary Clinton making some deals quietly regarding gun control with the United Nations treaties, which they're going to try to apply to us Americans because, of course, they've got the rest of the world already under the United Nations treaties when it comes to gun control. And so they might be using this opportunity to sneak this in on us quick while we're all distracted, as usual, with other topics that have are catching our attention. And so we have to be very leery and aware of this and make sure that any attempts to sneak in anything else on us that will erode further our freedoms, our constitutional freedoms, and subject us to the authority of another government that's going to try to supersede our government, which is totally treason and outrageous. We can't drop our guard in this, because they take advantage of every opportunity to further advance their agenda, which is total control over everything on this planet. And subjecting the United States, the last bastion of any kind of freedom on this planet. Granted, we don't have much left, but we are still the last holdout of some kind of individual freedom that a lot of other countries have already lost, that had to some degree what we've had. And so they're closing in on us.
There is not one shred of legitimacy in terms of any documents that the short-legged Mac Daddy has signed. He is an infiltrator. He's using a birth certificate of a person who would be 119 years old today from the state of Connecticut.
And apparently the Social Security number, too.
Well, that's what I mean. So it's
incredible. It is incredible.
I mean, you know, why isn't he in prison? Okay?
Amen. Amen.
How much plainer can it be said?
Yep, I mean, it's obvious that this guy can't fork it over, because if he had it, he'd show us all of it by now, and that way he could just say, look, you're all a bunch of loonies and racist. Here's my true birth certificate. I'm an American. And that's all he has to do, instead of spending millions of dollars to avoid that.
What does it have to do with race? We're talking about proving where you were born.
It has nothing
to do with race.
No, of course not. But, you know, they want to use race as a card. Well, we're all a bunch of racists, because we demand him to prove that he's a true American-born citizen. And
right.
And so they'll use the race on it. So I say, look, call me a racist then. Show me the legitimate birth certificate, and go ahead and call me I'm a racist because you actually have it, and I must be a racist because I won't believe you. So show us, Mr. Sotoro. Show us, Barry Boy, the homie from Kenya. Show us.
the homie from Indonesia.
Yeah, I know.
Barry Rockefeller.
Yep,
I mean,
total Rockefeller boy. He's a slave to the Rockefellers. I mean, all the black people in this country that had hope set on this guy, they have to be realizing he's a slave, if there ever was one, to the Rockefellers. He does their bidding. He reads that teleprompter script every time he makes a public appearance. He can really read that script good, a script that somebody wrote for him to say. Okay, and everything he says and does is already pre-planned, and not by him. Therefore, he has no volition of his own as a president. He is clearly manipulated, and only slaves are controlled and manipulated like that.
In fact, you know, every document he has signed is a forgery, whether it's documentation that he presented as in an effort to legitimize who he is or where he's from, where he
right.
was born,
who
he is, and who his family is. It's all fraud, every single bit of it. And on that basis alone, what anything he has signed, whether it's a signing statement, an executive order, or any bill that's been passed through Congress
that's right.
and the Senate, is absolutely a forgery and fraud on the basis of him lying about who he is.
That's right. You have the Reverend Manning conducting a hearing over down in Columbia, New York City University, Columbia University, where even George Stephanopoulos, who went to Columbia and supposedly graduated the same year, supposedly Obama, Barry Sotoro, graduated, and yet never seen him, never even heard of him. Nobody's ever met him at Columbia.
Isn't it interesting that Dwight Eisenhower, himself an illegal infiltrator in this country, was the president of Columbia University.
Yes, that's very interesting, Don.
For a five-year period.
Isn't that something?
It's just, I mean, the fix is on from one end to the other.
Clearly.
And it, And it's the same group of people behind the scenes pulling the strings.
That's right.
And they were involved with the Communist Party. They financed the Soviet participation in World War II. The UN was created on January 1st, 1942. And the United States was the first country listed on that document.
You see
first
that?
One.
You see that? That's because after World War I, when the banksters, the Rothschild Rockefeller bankster cabal, created the League of Nations, and the United States would not participate. So they create everything all over again. Another serious depression in Europe, striking Germany the hardest,
mm-hmm.
creating the conditions for the fascist Nazis to come about. And then after the war, and World War II was a heck of a lot worse than World War I, and World War I was terrible. And again, they tell the world, it's a war to stop all wars. What a crock that is. And so then they create the United Nations, and that's right, Don, the Rockefellers, especially David Rockefeller, I believe, bought the property in Manhattan, built the building, and said, United States, you are part of the United Nations whether you like it or not. And that's how that came about. But, you know, even though Sotoro is illegitimate usurper president, and no matter what he does as president, supposed president, it does not have any merit to it, legitimacy, therefore he can sign everything he wants, and it's not really legitimate. But at the same time, even if we had a legitimate president like we've had with Jorge Bushwacker, Boy George, or Slick Willie to Commie Clinton prior to the Bush administration, and they were doing all kinds of with our Congress and Senate.
But they didn't tell us who their true parents were either, specifically Clinton.
Yes, but regarding all the initiatives, the laws and legislations with this,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting us under United Nations control, all those laws that they were trying to, that they did pass,
mm-hmm.
that supersede, that override our constitutional laws, they are null and void.
Yes.
Those traitors in our government can tell us all day long we have to abide by them, but as Americans, we can tell them to go stick it, go to hell. Doesn't apply to us. You can never create any laws that will override any constitutional laws. That's how our government by law is structured. Our constitutional laws are structured. Founding fathers made sure of that when they laid out the framework, and we just have to all be aware of that. So no matter what comes down the road, anything they say that is outside of the constitutional laws, it does not apply to us. It can't apply to us. And anybody that tries to make it apply to us is the traitor, is the criminal.
Let me alert the listening audience to a fact, too. Hillary Clinton allegedly signed this document with the UN, which is going to require us to forfeit our arms. She's an infiltrator, too, okay? She's as phony as a Federal Reserve note. Trust me. So she is also illegitimate as the Secretary of State, appointed by an infiltrator, an illegal. Let's remember that. These people who were appointed by this clown are as illegitimate as he is. Get that through your head, folks.
And it only makes sense because no American would do this to other Americans. Of course not. Only foreigners would have the lack of conscience to try to pull the wool over fellow native countrymen's, you know, eyes and to subdue them. And
why do the
only
criminals?
Foreigners, like a Trojan horse.
Yeah,
they
what?
Are installed like a Trojan horse.
Michael, let me ask this rhetorical question. Why do the criminals who use guns themselves want to stop law-abiding citizens from owning guns so they can't arrest the criminals?
That's right, Don. You got it. That's what everybody has to always understand. Hey, I'm a peaceful guy. I'm a strict vegetarian. I don't harm anything. I go way out of my way not to harm anything. I even hurt myself so I avoid not harming something, even a little ant. I'm really that ridiculously extreme, as people would think. Yet, I have no problem owning a gun and using it when it's necessary. Yeah. And that would only be to stop evil. If I see somebody harassing somebody, holding them up, especially elderlies or young kids, no way am I tolerating that. And if I have a gun, I'll use that gun to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody else that, you know, you care about or that's innocent of any kind of wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it, Don. Criminals always will have guns. They don't abide by the laws. And so they obviously don't want law-abiding people to have guns, so they are totally defenseless. And then chaos can truly run crazy and rampant for as long as they needed to totally subvert our country, like they've done in Australia, like they've done in England and Canada, where, for example, in England, Australia, when they gave up their guns, and it was gradual, first you're not allowed to own this gun, then this one. Next thing you know, nobody's got any guns. But criminals are running them crazy all over the place with guns. Crime went right up through the roof,
mm-hmm.
And the people are telling us, don't you guys be stupid like we were, because we bought that commie line, and now we don't have guns, and criminals hold us up all the time because they know we can't defend ourselves with guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so fundamental. Fundamental.
And we had that Democratic entrepreneur from New Orleans, Lamondo Claire Allen, raking in $156,000 a year on government subsidies.
That's all that. Yeah, go ahead.
And he dies in a gun battle on the street, probably working out a real estate contract.
To another entrepreneur, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let me tell
That's how it'll be, Don, when all the good people don't have guns now. You know, in Vermont, where you're allowed to carry without any kind of registration, and like in Texas, too, crime is virtually non-existent. Now, look at the direct correlation. When everybody's allowed to carry guns, criminals are cowards. For the most part, they're cowards. They know that if everybody else has guns, they got a little chance of pulling off a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll tuck tail and look for easy targets. And so, they know just inversely, when no one has guns, they can run crazy rampant everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Without any real threats to their own well-being.
Yes. Well, I want to, for the sake of the listening audience, I want to let everyone know that there is a picture of an alleged family photo of the Rodhams, okay, and a 3-year-old Hillary Rodham Clinton, in this photo. And there are so many anomalies and one anachronism that is occurring in the photograph that the photo absolutely has to be fraudulent. Okay? Again.
Mm-hmm. There it is, the old M.O.
Yes, these people cannot create legitimate photos because they're not legitimate. It's pretty simple, folks. It doesn't get too complex. It just takes a little bit of thought to look at the picture. What is the story being told here? Okay? And I'm telling you, this anachronism, of a piece of a datable article that's in this photograph. There's something in the photograph that appeared on the scene by a certain date, okay? It cannot exist in the photograph prior to that date. You understand? Therefore, what is represented in the picture has to be totally fraudulent because of this datable article that's in the photograph. It's a total fabrication, a total compilation, and another rather poor one at that.
And you know, it all fits in when you just realize how our country's been under assault from its very inception by foreign agents,
mm-hmm.
coming out of Europe, and to gain control over our country and steer it back in under the control of the Queenie of England, and who was under the control, who's being controlled by the Rothschilds for sure. I mean, she's just the current monarchies there in England. They're just more puppets and slaves of the Rothschilds doing their bidding and getting paid very nicely for it. And so our country's been under assault ever since its inception by foreigners, And so they've really, over the last couple centuries, have finally really established themselves with a Trojan horse. They came in as like Americans. Everybody thought they were Americans. We were told they were Americans. They acted like Americans. But boy, oh boy, all they do is stab us in the back. Every chance they can, they undermine everything that's American that we hold sacred. And just think about Zbigniew Brzezinski, Heinz Kissinger, Barry Sotoro, Barack Hussein Obama, or as I affectionately call him, the quack insane Obama. All very American-sounding names. I mean, every time I hear those names, I just think of Mom's Apple Pie and baseball. So obviously, foreigners are definitely running our government.
The opening pitch to the Nationals game, the short-legged Mac Daddy was asked the question about his favorite Chicago team, and he begins to change the subject, telling I can't remember who the sportscaster was, but it was one of the guys that handles the world or World Series and the important games like opening day. And I think it was Rob Dibble, former Cincinnati pitcher. He asked the question, who his favorite Chicago team, and he said, well, I grew up on the South Side, which was lie number one.
Right.
And then he said, and I was going to school in Hawaii, lie number two.
Right.
He did not go to the Punahou School. That's a total fabrication. All the photographs and documentation are phony. And I covered that in many parts of the Three Stooges Go to Washington, a very in-depth analysis.
He just didn't say Babe Ruth.
Even the CIA would be proud of it, okay? My analysis of their photos, their fabricated photos, and certainly the FBI and the Secret Service would be proud of it. So he said then that because he was living in Hawaii, his favorite team was the Oakland A's. Now figure that out. So did he say anything about who he rooted for in Chicago? And then he misquoted the name of the ballpark in Chicago.
Wow.
Okay. The guy is an imposter.
Totally.
A total fraud. Okay. And then as he tries to portray himself as this apple pie loving American.
Mm-hmm.
Born under great odds. Well, I suppose if you're born in a test tube with a DNA of Cleopatra, you're under some pretty tall odds anyway. But I'm just speaking the truth, Michael. But that said, the fact that that this guy, when everyone who's basically putting their hand on their heart or saluting if they're in the military to
right.
the national anthem, he's doing what's now being called the crotch pose, where he's got his hands in front of his crotch.
You gotta be kidding.
Oh no, absolutely. I'll have to forward that to you.
Wow.
If you haven't seen that.
Yeah, wow.
It's similar to some other shots that were taken during the campaign, the 2008 presidential campaign.
Yeah. Okay, that's all, yep, because I do recall, of course, that he wouldn't say pledge, he wouldn't hold his hand over the heart during the Star-Spangled Banner, wouldn't acknowledge it. So much for an American apple pie, red, white, and blue-blooded American president.
Yes, I'm gonna forward this to you, Michael. You got to see this.
Unbelievable.
This is typical of what we have here, okay?
Yep.
We've identified him as a shapeshifter, Ken Adachi has, in a brilliant piece that he authored last year called Barack and Michelle Reveal Reptilian Baggage at London Airport. it's just the title of that article is great, but he did an in-depth analysis of what we both identify as major shape-shifting, and anyone that has seen the phenomenon and can recognize it will agree with us. It's not the first time he's shape-shifted in a photograph.
Well, you know, Don, every time you say that, I just think back to that photograph you shared with me where he's a little kid with supposedly his mom and dad, and he's back in the early 60s time frame of the photograph, early 60s, and he's got this medallion around his neck. And, of course, you point out all the anomalies about the photograph proving it's a fake.
Yeah.
But there he is with this medallion around his neck, and what's the image on? What's this medallion? There's an image on it. What is it? It's a head of a gray alien. Now,
yeah.
Nobody in the 60s knew about gray aliens except for the very elite.
Yes. And this is it's a stick man version of a gray alien, actually. You know?
What's that?
It's a stick man version.
Oh, it wasn't just a headshot?
No, it's the arms and legs, the whole body. You
okay.
know, it's sort of like a stick man, like you would do one of these cartoons.
Okay, but
and,
definitely
and,
a gray.
Yes, no doubt about it. And none
and
of those
we're
people...
we're talking early 60s here.
Yes, none of the characters in that photograph. I have to be careful of using the word people because it doesn't apply here.
Right.
Okay. The characters in this photograph were placed one at a time within the context of the photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a color photograph. I discovered that while I was playing around trying to balance the lighting aspects and contrast and exposure ratios. And I found that this was actually a color photograph that they had intentionally converted to black and white. But the thing was, they didn't erase the color feature. You know, you can't
they
make
They probably
it
couldn't then, Don. They probably couldn't.
No, they couldn't. And likewise, you can't make a color photo out of a plain black and white by changing
That's
saturation
for sure.
and tint and hue ratios. You have to incorporate graphic editing into that, and there are some inexpensive programs out there now. I'm sure they'll love this for the next character that they want to create, but it's so bad, Michael. What they do is so poor in quality that you can't even call them intelligence agencies because there's no sign of intelligence whatsoever in this.
It's definitely a contradiction of terms. When you're dealing with these, in Latin we call them a doofus among us.
And prior to that, they called the methods that they used to sell us ideas innuendos or Italian suppositories. So. Anyway, I forwarded you a copy of this humongous American flag. That appears to be, this is pretty anomalous. Do they have more than one flag hanging there? Evidently they do. And we have the crotch shot. We have a couple of faces are blacked out to not identify who is actually saluting. But you can see that there's just a total lack of respect or dignity for anything American.
That's right. That's
I don't know how else to describe it.
That's perfectly how you describe it.
So
this guy has nothing but contempt for us, and he's got the audacity to say, like when he was shoving the health care plan down our throats, as if I'm going to play ball with that, as if I'm going along with it. Forget it, Barry. But, we're in the people's house. Yeah, you're in the people's house, boy, so get the hell out of it now. Because you don't belong in it. You know, and at the same time, let's not forget, last September, he attended a UN conference and sat on a council chair for the UN while he was our president. That is high treason right then and there.
Yeah.
You string him up just for that one alone. But,
yes.
Of course, nobody's talking. Oh, yeah, I got the photo done. I see it now. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, again, whether it's the health care bill or it's a parking ticket, he is illegitimate. He is
That's
illegitimate.
Right.
And there is no constitutional foundation for any document that he has signed. His selective service registration, which was, as I recall my own research, it was submitted at the age of 19. Anyone who violated that law would have been thrown in prison. and probably drafted.
Absolutely.
And he fudged that document as well. Mm-hmm. You had the date on the document. I don't remember the specific date. I'd have to go back and look at it. But the date that the document was stamped by the Selective Service Board was the day before he filled it out. Okay? And then they had it registered, and they claimed they couldn't find it. Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know? Well, more incompetence there from the old bureaucrats in the old red tape department.
Yeah, and the reason why there are no documents coming forth are because there are no documents. Who signed the birth document out of the test tube? Okay? Really, who delivered that baby out of a test tube? And I think I'm being rather generous in saying it that way. You know,
must have been Daddy Rockefeller.
Yeah, exactly. Or Mama Cleo.
Well,
oh,
that's definitely it's definitely interesting on that. But one thing, there's no getting around it. And one thing's for certain: this guy is not an American. And not only is he should be in prison, but all the Congress, all the Senate, the Supreme Court, and the entire media,
Democratic National Committee too.
Yep, and the Electoral Committee.
Mm-hmm.
They're all complicit, and all should be in prison alongside this foreign-born commie turd boy, who is so un-American. I haven't seen anything quite like it since. Jimmy Carter, Slick Willie, Old Man Bush, and Boy Bush Jr.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, one more thing I'd like to bring up, too, and that was the 17 years worth of parking tickets and that were in the Somerset Police Station in Somerset, Massachusetts. And the newspaper there, I'd spoken to the guy that actually did the research, and I asked him what kind of car was ticketed, and he said, you know, I've thrown all that documentation away. How convenient.
Yes.
How convenient.
If it was me or you, boy, they'd be still mailing us those summons.
Okay, well, but I'm saying as far as him doing the research and writing the article, then he said that he threw all that documentation away that he had. I was trying to find out what kind of car he would have been driving at that time. Now, what's come out is that he was driving a BMW at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They say he attended Occidental. I don't think he did. Knowing him, if he got a Fulbright scholarship, he just took the money and ran.
Sure.
And it was certain that he was already involved with Pakistan and Afghanistan way back then.
Yes.
But as a CIA agent. And,
right.
You know, Reverend James Manning brought that information out in the trial, which found the short-legged Mac Daddy guilty. And Columbia University for obfuscating the truth and creating false documentation. Basically, like money order degrees.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And therefore, they are guilty, too.
So that supports what I said about Harvard University, too, because basically you have the same issue there at Harvard. No one recalls seeing him there. The only people they've been able to bring forth to say that he was at Occidental are his Pakistani and Afghanistani friends, his roommates or the people he hung out with. But he was declared not to be one that studied but preferred to smoke pot and to party.
That's right, Don.
That's the guy that ended up getting a scholarship to Columbia University and then to Harvard University. Come on. Let's
that's right, and
here.
He graduates. He graduates, too.
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly.
Well, I even did early, my first genealogical piece, Michael, I identified James Loeb from Kuhn and Loeb in New York City, coming into Ellis Island, telling the INS agent that he was born in Landsberg, Germany. Why does the Harvard press through their founder, the Loeb Classic Library, on their main page, why do they say he was born in New York if he admitted that he was born in Germany?
Amazing.
Isn't it amazing? And
it sure is.
That's one of the trading with the enemy companies that got Prescott Bush in trouble in 1941.
That's Loeb, L-O-E-B, right?
L-O-E-B, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, also let's consider fact that supposedly he's coming from a poor family, very poor family, but somehow attends all these prestigious schools from high school up.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
And he's traveling around the world in between school, but he's poor. Where the heck is all that money coming from? And obviously, he's a Rockefeller boy all the way. And his whole history, everything about him is a facade, it's a veneer. And let's just hope we get our hands on this guy and hold him accountable real soon.
This is the person running the show in the Gulf of Mexico, folks. So
that's
remember
right.
that
yep.
when you think of the tragedy that's occurring there.
And since Lord Obama is controlling, everything's going to be fine, Don. The Messiah, he's on top of it. Everything's going to be okay. And he's going to wave his hand, and all the pollution's going to disappear. Everything's going to be fine.
I really hope Larry Sinclair makes his bid into Congress. I really do. I don't know how he did on his primary.
Wow, he was actually running for Congress?
Yeah, if he made it past the primary, it could get very interesting. You know.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting story right there.
Yes. Well, Michael, we're out of time. We actually went over a little bit, but it was interesting discussion tonight, and I enjoyed the interplay on all these various topics. And I look forward to your next visit to the show, which will not occur until next month. But I want to encourage folks who may be wondering about Michael's herbal products. You can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors. I've had several occasions to use Rapid Heal, and it's come through with flying colors. Michael's got some new products that he's been telling me about that I'm very anxious to try, and people swear by him, so... Check out Michael's private stock, Michael Anthony's private stock, on my sponsors page at directlightproductions.com. Michael, thanks so much for being on the show. Do you want to make a closing comment before we say goodnight?
Well, thank you, Don. I want to just thank you for that plug. And my formulas, I'm very lucky. The formulas are excellent, and everything's always going very well, helping people continually, daily. And so I'm blessed with that, and I just want to thank you again for having me on the show. And I just want to thank everybody listening, and always keep your minds focused on the good Lord and the light of God, because darkness always disappears when the light of God is present. And even though they're trying to keep us in fear, and they're trying to ramroad hell onto this planet in any way they can, just remember, we follow where our mind is and our hearts. And if we keep that tuned in to the good Lord and his way of doing things, we'll always be happy no matter what's going on around us. We'll always be happy. The good Lord takes care of his own. And sooner or later, justice is meted out to everybody. And all these evil, good-for-nothing losers will be held accountable one day. And so let's keep our sights set on that. God bless and good night.
Okay, thank you, Michael. And I want to give folks, another update on AmeriHaz. This is the product that Dr. Mike Castle is wanting to bring forth to help the folks in the Gulf region. If you can find it in your heart, and everyone you know, whether they're your friends or your enemies, ask them to contribute to the fund, which is called the Castle Concepts-AmeriHaz. You would make it out. We're just asking for a dollar so we can buy the product necessary to produce a sufficient quantity to soak up that oil and get it out of the water along the coastline. Again, castleconcepts-amerihaz. That's AmeriHaz. And the address to send that to is 1933 East Dublin, Granville Road, number 171, Columbus, Ohio, 43229. And Dr. Castle thanks you in advance for helping to help him get this product out so we can just take care of business. We don't have to stand by and watch our planet being destroyed, and certainly the food supply, and especially in the Gulf region. So if you can spare a dollar, send it to Dr. Mike Castle at that address. And I'll repeat it on upcoming shows. Again, Michael, thank you very much for being on Evident Footprints. I'm going to say goodnight now, as well as to those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Thank you very much for tuning in. Also on blogtalkradio.com. I want to thank Don Newsom at BBS Radio for doing the sound tonight, as well as Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Join me tomorrow evening when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.